I have a state college film degree, and I like swords.
Hi, I'm Jay Verhat. I was an editor and writer for like 10 years, and I fucking hate fantasy bullshit.
Yay!
And today, we're going to answer the question that is on the top of everyone's mind. Who is Conan?
Who is Conan?
Who is Conan? Is Conan a boy detective? Perhaps,
yes.
Perhaps some sort of mischievous late night talk show host. I'm spitballing. Are there any other Conans that I'm missing? A barbarian, but a male barbarian, barbarian.
A really pointy head. Oh wait, no, that's the cone heads.
Yeah.
Shit.
The main character of the film Paper Moon. Oh, that's Con Man. Sorry.
Oh damn it! A film festival. Oh, that's Con. Fuck.
The lying news media. Oh fuck, that's CNN. My bad.
Stupid.
Okay. But we're talking. She is Conan.
She's Conan
with three N's. The girl Conan.
The girl Conan. So yeah, what do we have here, Jay Bearhat? I know of Conan from Conan.
The Barbarian.
The Barbarian.
Famously depicted in the 80s? When did that fucking movie come out? The Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. We all fucking know the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Sure, yeah.
But is a take, but as it turns out, Conan the Barbarian is also kind of just this huge, like, pulp icon figure, which I actually wasn't super aware of. Like, he originated from, like, a story from, like, the 30s. And, like, it was, like, one of those, like, huge fantasy series. And he's been, like, a comic and, like, a movie and, like, a video game and, like, another movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of seems very Mandy the movie paperback novel-y.
Yes, that's kind of my, like, when I think of Conan, I think of, like, 80s, like, pulp novel comic stuff, like very, very cheap, very goofy.
Like, it's maybe something like what's his name, the guy who did Samurai Jack, would say as like an influence on him.
Oh yeah,
like something like that, but not really something that I like care about.
Gender Ted Toaster.
Yeah,
that's the guy's name. Yeah, I've never given a shit about Conan the Barbarian, which makes this kind of queer reimagining of it very silly to me.
Yeah, very, very, very silly. I mean, I guess it was inevitable. We're having this moment right now where there's the, like, the queer reappraisal / reappropriation of, like, nu metal, which I'm guilty of. Mall goth, sci-fi, all of the stuff that's, like, historically been very, like, heavy metal, punk, all of the stuff that's historically been considered, like, the domain of white guys who I think have just graduated on to, like, mass shootings now.
Yeah.
And so they left all this cool shit behind. That is now the domains of the girls, gays, and theys.
True.
And
it's ours now.
It belongs mine now. So I guess, unfortunately, inevitably, that would also include like Conan the Barbarian and like maybe like the Hercules show from the 90s. I guess Xena was kind of already gay.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it was in that fun sort of closet between space. But it was also pretty overtly
like it played to like anime con lesbians, but like ye old ye old Ren Faire butches, like anime con lesbians.
Yes, and thank God. Yeah. And God bless Xena.
But now they're making art movies, I guess.
Yeah.
They're out here making art movies, I guess, about this stuff.
Over here fucking piddling with their dingles, fucking making painting fucking Art Nouveau fucking whatever. Yeah.
Is there like a name for this like moment right now yet? Like how there was like the new queer cinema of like the 90s? Like have they titled this at all? This kind of like this like post Knife Plus Heart kind of thing.
Ooh, that's a really good point. I don't know. Like queer renaissance I hear thrown around a little bit.
But I guess that makes sense. Cause like that's how it feels, right? Like it feels very not that like Knife Plus Heart.
It sure don't feel that way to me.
not that, you know, all of this is like the only thing that's downstream of it. Or that everything is downstream only of Knife Plus Heart. It's not like that was the only one to do it, but I feel like that was the one that like really burst into like a larger stream. Mm-hmm. And now there's like a larger investment in growing these kinds of movies. Altered Innocence, who put out one of the movies that we did, or rather they did the restoration for Confessions of a Congressman, which we did for Throws It Back, our Patreon exclusive episode. They're the ones who distributed this. They seem to have their fingers in a lot of this new genre era of queer film.
They're putting their fingers in a lot of places with Anus Films out there.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we love Altered Innocence. They've put out so many just great things. Rapture came out through them, I think.
Yes. Or was Rapture. Them. I was gonna say Rapture was. They just picked up The People's Joker.
Yes.
So that's if you get a chance to see that, that is gonna be because of Altered Innocence, probably. They do like a lot of restorations of like older, like forgotten, like queer gay films. And then they do distributions for like newer stuff that kind of like falls into their wheelhouse. Also, they did the release of Irreversible where it plays in the correct order, which is really funny.
So bizarre.
Which is such a like funny bit to do that I kind of be like, all right, that's fine. That's camp.
Interesting. Yeah. So for She Is Conan, we're kind of striking this this queer renaissance moment. And I will say that I have seen Wild Boys. I haven't seen After Blue.
No, yeah, I have not seen Bertrand. What is that?
Bertrand Mendigo. Yeah,
I have not seen, I think, any of his other stuff. I've been interested in it. But it's never been kind of quite high because it's always been stuff that people whose opinions I trust will see his stuff and it'll kind of be actually very similar to how I felt about Conan. Like, oh, it does like a lot of cool stuff, but it's like kind of like a mixed bag altogether.
Yes, that's kind of like Wild Boys is I mean, I definitely watched it during my just, you know, smoke so much weed until you're on another planet phase. So the amount of it that I remember is not, I remember not loving it. It's not good.
Yeah.
But it's horny. And to a small extent, Conan is like a little bit, Conan kind of tampers it down, actually. It's more, I think Conan's sort of like ambitions are a little bit lateral. They're something else entirely.
Also should be worth noting that it seems like a running theme with a lot of his stuff is that he makes a lot of short films around them as well. I am sad that I got a chance that I ended up missing it because I think they only did it for like one day here, but I guess there's like a trilogy of short films that are kind of like expanded She is Conan universe, but like not in the sense of like just expanding the in-universe. Like one of them is like about a woman who wants to make a queer all-female adaptation of Conan the Barbarian.
That's awesome.
And then like one of them is just like oh, Rainier the hellhound, like it's like a backstory for him that is like not really directly linked to like Conan. They're just kind of Rainier is the demon who makes a pact with the girl who wants to make a all-female version of Conan the Barbarian. So it seems like there's this like larger narrative that kind of like blends between different stages of reality, which I'm really interested in. But I, like I said, they only did one day. They were screening the trilogy of shorts and they missed it.
Yeah, I noticed that too, that it was, I mean, it's always, God, I really want to be that girl. I want to be that girl that can sit in a movie theater for 7 hours.
Yeah, I mean, that was really it. It's because it was literally like, oh, do you want to watch like an hour and a half movie and then like a 2 hour movie?
Yeah, like, and I'm not gonna call out the theater, but those seats, man,
they are not comfy. Yeah, no, I will watch them eventually. They seem very interesting. I just was not. There was one day that I was gonna go see it, and I had to decide if I wanted to dedicate 5 to 6 hours of my life to watching movies by a director whose stuff I have not seen before.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so with the way that the film is kind of structured, we start with this sort of female rendition of Conan the Barbarian being when she is 15 years old.
Yes. And it starts very, very Conan the Barbarian-y. From everything I've read, well, technically the opening scene is very different. But as far as the actual narrative goes, yes, the opening scene is very Conan the Barbarian-y, even though from what I've read, it seems pretty much like the main way this is an adaptation of Conan the Barbarian is that it's about a high fantasy barbarian named Conan. And that's really about it. that's kind of where the similarities end.
True. Yeah. Yeah, this is about the most that it's like Conan.
Yeah.
And then there's, I don't recall in, I mean, like, obviously I'm not the most aware of whether like Conan's mother was a witch in the original mythology. That does not sound like it's the case. It kind of just sounds like a pretty bare bones revenge fantasy type situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, she encounters her future self at 25, and she kills the 25-year-old version of her, kills the 15-year-old version of her. Which, what did you think of that as like a concept? Because I thought that was really cool.
I really liked it. Like I liked it both in the classic way, in which like the ways I prefer to interpret film, which is real and metaphor at the same time, and that, yeah. But I really appreciate it both in that it's an obvious, like, it's such a like fantasy ass fucking metaphor of like you have to kill your younger self in order to become your older self.
So
I sort of take it as like this is like a literal thing that is happening, is that like in order for her to like age into these people, she basically like creates a tulpa version of herself older, which is also why like who she is, like like the physicality of who she is, like why that keeps changing every time she ages. You know, I think it makes sense to this idea that it's like essentially she is summoning a version of herself and then like killing the original self in order to become that. But also, you know, it's just a metaphor. It's just I thought it's a very great visual idea of like, in a condensed narrative that overtakes someone's entire life, you basically are, you know, killing this previous character that you've gotten to know when you jump forward in time. Mm-hmm. Because the person you know, the character you know at 25 and the character you know at 15, like an actual person at 15 and 25, are different. Are going to be, yeah, like pretty different in some measurable capacity.
Unrecognizably different, yeah.
And so that sets up a recurring motif of Conan's presence relationship to Conan's future and the way those roles are always transferred by Conan of the future killing Conan of the present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like, as much as it's a simple kind of allegory, it's an effective one. And one that I think is kind of cool, because when we think of Conan, we kind of think of this like very outward violence, and like seeking out revenge. So I don't know, the idea that she's just like killing herself over and over again throughout the film is interesting. I also want to take a moment to, and I could be totally utterly wrong about this, but this movie did not seem fun to work on at all. Which is to say that it looked really beautiful, and there's like all of these scenes, and you kind of start noticing it when she like encounters, or you start really noticing it when she encounters her 25-year-old self for the first time, and there's like dandelions spraying everywhere, kind of, is what it looks like. And it seems like those are just like spraying all over the air throughout the entire duration of the movie.
Yeah, there really is always like something in the air, something moving.
Just a major amount of like particle effects.
Yeah.
Like,
this is a ray tracing movie.
Very, very video gamey on that front. More to that end, like, just a lot of, like, hyper-conceptual, bizarre dialogue throughout that's, like, a little bit, let's say, tough to follow. I hate to show my ass by saying that, but I'm calling them like I'm seizing them. I am pig American, so, you know, dumb it down for me a little bit. I you know, I'm pig American. I love bad movie Avengers.
Yeah.
But point being, like, the hyper stylization, I don't know, to me, it's like a saving grace of the film, but I definitely was noticing like little flecks of like dust and glitter and like dandelion and all sorts of shit getting caught in people's like lips, eyelashes, bangs, just like everywhere.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean, or it's like, I imagine there's just, also there's just so much like fluids that they're getting covered in constantly that shit is guaranteed to stick all over them.
Yeah.
And it does look like everything is filmed on like probably pretty reasonably sized sets. So like, I imagine it's like, you know, they do those sequences and then they like step off and they're immediately out of all the debris. But I totally get what you mean about it's like, definitely seems an overstim physical hell, which looks great. Like, it really works for the film and what it's going for.
What did you think of Reiner?
Reiner the Hellhound is Conan's bestie, frenemy.
Oomphy,
her stan.
Also, you might hear us say Rainier.
Yeah.
Throughout this recording, that is because we are from Seattle.
Yeah, they definitely don't pronounce it like that. But every time they said it, I still in my brain like mentally was like, oh, like the mountain, like the beer that I drink, Rainier.
I could go for a beer right now.
It was also weird. Every time they said his name in the movie, they actually flashed a big Rainier can on screen. And sometimes it was like the Rattler, like the lemonade one, but it was just constantly like.
It was like that thing in Fight Club where it's like a frame of a dick, but.
But the dick was holding a Rainier up against it to be like, look how big I am.
Yeah, it was a pick from Grindr. It had the Grindr logo on it. It was really weird.
But yeah, that is not how is it pronounced? You just did it a second ago, and I still immediately.
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
So can you do that? Just pronounce it that way. Reiner.
I will have one sent to Pellegrin. Can I get a baguette?
I wish I knew just a little bit more French so that I could clown on them just a little bit harder. You got me today, French people.
I will have the salad with the blue cheese. I have come all this way to get the Avers clam chowder. Anyway, yeah. Elena Lowenthal does a really
Levinson. I don't know.
Does a great job as Rainer, especially through the like weird dog mask makeup that they make her wear the whole film.
I thought it looked good.
It looks real. Like, that's why it's like incredible what a performance is, because it looks like it should be super limiting of expressionness of like expression, but like it works really well for the, like both the character and like her expressions.
I want to kind of know more about the people who make like those types of like prosthetic dog masks, and they also, I mean, like they just did a lot to like integrate it to the makeup of the like face that's underneath it.
Yeah.
I don't know, something about the tech is just like, or I don't know, tech is the wrong word. I guess I would say like taste and like craft, you know, like there's some sort of advancements being made in the realm of being doggy for Halloween time.
No, yeah, no. I was gonna say, I think that's like it's the emphasis on their ability to still be expressive over necessarily like more dog like, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it works for the fact that he is supposed to be like a hellhound, I think is what they say in the film. He's like a weird dog demon, basically.
Yeah, he's got like this weird deal with the devil dynamic with the main character,
even though he is besties,
right?
Literally makes a pact with her at some point to send her into the future, and like goes like a week and is like, oh, I miss you, I'm so sad. Let's commit war crimes again.
Ooh, let's kill people. Please, 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 please.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, I don't really remember very much about 25-year-old Conan's adventures. I think that's a really short-lived part of the film.
That is when she goes into the fog swamp, which is just a set, which is clearly just like a warehouse set with like a fog machine going on, and runs into Sonya, the barbarian who killed her mom and tortured her, doing like BDSM with like the grown-up baby car from Titan.
Oh my god, that's right. They were doing crazy fucking fired village dances or whatever.
And also Rainier's sister, whom he hates, is there, which was like, I thought, a funny gag. Like, we should say that, like, up to this point in the film, everything is so, like, high fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, almost impenetrable what is going on, because they're constantly just, like, referring to these magical things happening as if you fucking know what you're looking at. and they do a really good visual job. Like, it's really cool actually watching it all happen. You just aren't going to know what the hell is happening, or why in the middle of it, a like 98 Volvo just appears in the middle of this magic swamp.
That was awesome.
That scene ruled. And it's being driven by 35-year-old. Is right, if I remember correctly, it's being driven by 35-year-old Conan.
God, a lot of this movie just kind of went right over my head. I'm going to be real with you.
A lot happens in this film, and very little of it is particularly, very little of it logically follows from the prior event.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, is intentional and is to your own taste, whether or not you'll like it or not. I thought it was kind of a little lazy, but it looked cool up to this point in the film.
Well, yeah, by this point I had really started to notice a certain wordiness, let's say, and that problem only gets exponentially worse and worse and worse as we kind of move into 35-year-old Conan and her crazy life. Basically, okay, so it's like 15 and 25, we have this like pretty boilerplate like fantasy adventure situation wherein Conan, like, her family is killed by these raiders, so she goes and kills the raiders, and you know, barring some other just kind of general threads going on, that is sort of the end of that. But then she gets in a time-traveling car, like, Back to the Future, and goes to the big city in the 80s?
Yeah, I think it's Detroit in, like, the late 80s or, like, early 90s. They say what it is, but doesn't really matter, to be honest. It doesn't really matter too much. Just, you know, that it's in the, like, oh yeah, like the past, but like the recentish past.
Yeah. And the set here is totally bonkers. I'm a really big fan of it. I like that she lives in this like weird one room auto body shop with like a customer service desk, this hardcore 90s like furnishing, and then there's just this vinyl corner with like Can, Hounds of Love. What did you see in the vinyl corner?
Oh god. Oh, well, I saw something in there that I remember pointing out, but I can't recall what it was now.
Yeah. It was a lot of fucking absolute classics. I think there might have been like a Cyndi Lauper or something. I don't know, but it was like really, it was like some really hip stuff, you know. And then like, and then Rainer kind of returns, and it becomes really tense. Do you remember what's happening at this point in the movie?
So it should be noted that the deal she made with Rainier.
Uh-huh.
Was not only to be sent into the future, but to no longer be a barbarian, and to be enemies to lovers with Sonya, the woman who killed her family and tortured her for like a decade.
Oh, that's right.
But in order for that to work, they would have their memories wiped, and they drive their car into the future and are just a lesbian couple who make their money doing car tricks that are basically like the car tricks from Titane. And then before Rainier shows up, there's an accident and she like fucks up and like is basically like partially decapitated.
Damn. All of this sounds so fucking cool on paper when you explain that it happens in the movie.
Yeah.
I almost feel like if the characters just didn't talk throughout like the whole movie.
I think that's really the biggest problem, is that they get bogged down by the fantasy thing of constantly like monologuing and speaking in this like overly poetic language, which ends up working against the like vibe of the film. Yeah. Of note here, Bertrand, the director, created something called the Incoherence Manifesto, which is the specific phrase that they pull for the Wikipedia page is: to be incoherent means to have faith in cinema. It means to have a romantic approach, unformatted, free, disturbed, and dreamlike, cinegenic, and epic narration. And I get that, and I do agree, and I see that that's how he's doing, but that ties further into the fact that, like, the character is talking, like, not shutting the fuck up constantly.
Right.
Like, really hampers the incoherence, because it treats it as if, like, oh, but you know, you should know what's going on. And it's like, I don't know what's going on. I liked it better when I didn't know what was going on, not when you tried to pretend that I did.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's just a lot to ask. I mean, you know, especially, like, if the dialogue isn't going to be, like, unquestionably crazily good, you know, and there's just so much of it, like, it didn't seem to really want to, like, convey too much, and I just didn't like it. I don't care for it.
Yeah, no, it's the dialogue is really the weakest part of the film. There's not really a lot of, there's great performances that accompany a lot of the dialogue, but there's not a lot of great dialogue.
Well, yeah, it's strong performances. It's really strong production design. It's fantastic cinematography. And then it's just like a lot of junk.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite make heads or tails of.
And this scene specifically that we're talking about is probably the worst of it, because mm-hmm. it's when it's a very long extended scene of them talking, and it feels like it's going for an almost like natural realism thing, like the movie's shifted into this like fish out of water, almost like 80s like drama,
right,
where she's suspicious of this dog man who's arrived and is like, oh, I just need to use your phone, oh, I just need to wait and get out of the rain, but like clearly knows too much about her. And then it just kind of doesn't really go anywhere, and then it's just like, yep, I'm the hellhound, you're a barbarian, your lover is the barbarian that you hated, also when you got nearly decapitated, actually you died, so unless you make a deal with me right now, you're going to die.
I remember thinking that like there could have been a more kind of backwards and like surreptitious like manipulation happening there, other than just like, oh, by the way, I own your soul and blah 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 blah, you know what I mean, like it could have been more artful,
right,
in terms of kind of like sneaking its way to that conclusion and that relationship between these two characters.
Yeah, no, I think that's why it's such a weird thing, is because it's the only real moment in the film where it breaks out of this like almost heady fantastical narrative, and it's almost like Vampire's Kiss, like just like an 80s thriller kind of thing, where it's like, ah, I tricked you, I own your soul now, and then it's like, but that doesn't really last long, and then it kind of goes back to what it was doing before.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Yeah. And boy does it, because she takes that she takes that deal and runs.
Absolutely. So yeah, there's like some weird stuff involving how does she encounter her 45-year-old self? I think it involves the car again.
I think the 45-year-old version of her kills her on the car with Sonya.
That sounds correct. Don't come for us.
Yeah.
If the movie was good, I would remember this shit.
It's fine. and then her 45-year-old self is just a Nazi. Right?
Yes, that's right.
Like, that's she's right. Just a Nazi. Which leads to one of the funniest sequences in the film to me, which was that all the like write-ups on this film were like, oh, drawing on like, you know, these like history of films and comparing it to other ones that made sense, but they would always include the Night Porter, and I'd be like, the Night Porter really stands out there, because like the Night Porter is not like a bizarre experimental film really. And then it gets to this scene, and there's just a part where she dresses like the Night Porter and runs around like the poster for the Night Porter, and I'm like, oh, you just mean that they have a Night Porter reference in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really tonally anything like the Night Porter. they just do a reference. It's
tonally very similar in terms of the tone of her jacket color. That's a reference. That is a reference.
That's when it's also like some of the metaphors of it get a little bit too heavy-handed, because they have the part where her and her butch lover are like watching this old queen flattering all these men, and is like, oh, like that's Europe.
what did they mean by this?
And then she kills Europe. I'm not opposed to doing like a lesbian barbarian Nazi, because it's kind of like the Despicable Me problem, where if you introduce these characters and their history is that they always team up with the biggest bad guy and the most evil person, and they exist before Adolf Hitler. You have to come up with a reason why they're not going to be with the Nazis. and in this film, they don't. So she just is a Nazi for a while in the film. Although it's not a Nazi. It's like obviously Nazi inspired, but it takes place after the 80s.
Sure.
So it's like future dystopian Nazis. And then they're hanging out with their financiers, and there's like, I'm the guy who's the banks. I'm the guy who's the media system. And we're having a fun little gay orgy in our pool. Wee! And then she just like kills them all and is like, it doesn't matter. We just take their money.
Uh-huh.
It's a very, very strange sequence. And then she kills her lover. And then she gets invaded by a succubi, and that's the next one, that's her next Conan.
That's right.
And that's like Lady Gaga girl boss Conan.
Yeah So age 45 Conan era doesn't make a lot of sense. A real weak point in the film. Age 55, it kind of picks back up.
It's because they kind of go back to the thing they were doing in the 80s, where it's like, okay, you're actually sticking a little bit to a more naturalistic, like, dialogue. It's still very much so, like, way more in common of the weird surrealist stuff, but at the very least, like, when characters are talking, they're, like, communicating.
Yeah.
And not, like, monologuing.
Yeah, yeah. There's, like, discussions, conversations being had that are like of actual import, and you know, who relate to the world that they live in. Yeah, like basically we have this situation where Conan appears to be kind of like this art financier who offers herself up on a plate a la Cook the Thief, his wife, and her lover. And is some sort of metaphor for, like, selling out, I guess. Like, one of the artists kind of has a problem with it. And she has this wonderful, like, eye makeup. What would you call that? It's like
art pop gorilla, like guerrilla warfare, but like art, make it art pop.
Yeah, I'm blanking on like the artist who that was like their signature eye look, but it's a little bit Nina Hagen, I would say.
Yeah.
She becomes like this kind of conscientious objector and like leaves the room over it. And then it just kind of devolves into this, like, everybody disgustingly eating.
Yeah, that's when the film gets weaker to me, because it becomes just like, whoa, we're getting into weird, oh, it's such gross out stuff, and it's like, okay.
Okay.
All right, you're doing cannibalism and you're talking about how you're gonna live on through them. Here's my little secret.
Right.
They don't know I made a deal with a devil. He he he.
Ha 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 la la la. I mean, and also just kind of like very fan arty throughout. In terms of like I said, this is just so Cook the Thief, his wife, and her lover.
It,
to a fault.
It also ironically reminded me a lot of like a weaker version of like the last season of Search Party.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're getting all of these like caricatures together to make a big decision about like the world, basically. And it doesn't help that it's also like, I guess the implication of it all is that it's like, she's like, I've mastered being a barbarian, of like mass murder. Now I will become a psychological barbarian. I will subject them to my little games.
I will do the violence of leading them astray, leading their spirits astray. Hoo hoo! Yeah, it just, like, I was so done with it by this point.
Yeah, and then it's just, then the wraparound of, like, oh, if you're more evil and fucked up than Conan, you can be the new Conan. And then it's like, you're actually the old Conan, you're actually the new Conan the whole time. Bye.
Whoa.
Bye bye.
Bye. Have fun. Be safe on your way out.
The other problem with movies like this is that when you do this whole, like, yeah, our character is the most fucked up person who's ever existed. And it's like, are they?
You know?
It's very House That Jack. We do a lot of movie references in this one, but it's this movie. So does this movie. It's very like House That Jack Built, where it's like, look at how fucked up our guy is. Isn't he the most fucked up guy you've ever seen? where like the fucking shit that drove me up a wall in that movie, where like Virgo is like, oh my God, Jack, you're the most twisted son of a bitch I've ever met. And it's like, I don't think the guy who leads people to hell is impressed by a serial killer.
Has he not seen worse? Like, he literally describes worse in fucking The Inferno, you know what I mean?
Right? Yeah, like, it's like,
people have been doing worse than Jack since the beginning.
Like,
oh, well.
Listen, this is not a you gotta hand it to him situation where you gotta be like, he's not that bad, but you can't have the literal embodiment of a character bringing him to the depths of hell be like, I've never heard of killing a child before. And this is kind of in the same boat. where it's just it's like you keep emphasizing how like fucked up and twisted this character is, and then it's like, I don't know, she does like cartoon barbarian violence and like chooses to have her lover killed over herself.
Right.
Okay, that's pretty dark, I guess.
It's pretty dark. I wish I felt sort of emotionally attached to it in a substantial way.
I'm really invested in Sonya as a character, so this really hurts me as well. I really understand why they got together, so I can see why she feels this way.
As a viewer, I can tell you that I was distraught when character whose name I don't remember died.
The problem is that the film has a bigger emotional impact on these two characters when it has the line when she walks in and believes that she has fucked Rainier the Hellhound, but thinks that it is like just a big dog, and goes, "We agreed, no animals." Like that gives you so much more emotional investment in this character. Like so much more is like conveyed about those characters in that one exchange than anything else in the film.
Pretty good. It's pretty good. It also might be, you know, relatively important to note that there's like this kind of overarching plot going on where like kind of, you know, in relation to the ending where it's like, you could be Conan too. Like Conan is like sitting on this throne. This otherworldly throne. It really is very House that Jack built.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. Kind of appraising the work of this other, you know, supposed Conan or whatever. It's like a very thin kind of thread to tie it all together. I mean, like, yeah, it's
the most evil version of you is always just around the corner. I guess
there's always a chance to get more evil.
This is a movie about trauma bitches. This is a movie about girls who make trauma their brand.
Yeah, honestly, you know, they've got their they've got their angle. They're sticking to it. Yeah. I don't know. It was a movie. I watched it. My eyes viewed it.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand. You know?
It was fine. like that's... Yeah. I would probably say the ideal situation to watch it would be, like, in like a low-key environment where like it doesn't maybe matter too much if you're paying attention.
or like a fan cut that removes all the dialogue,
yeah,
except for the good bits,
or just a Rainier fam cam.
I did really like Rainier.
He is a great character. I think that's one of the biggest problems, is that he outshines Conan, the titular character, like every embodiment of Conan.
Yeah, absolutely. I was much more interested in in his adventures and what he had to say. Well, that being the case, we're gonna try something new here today.
Yeah. Where. On encouragement from a consulting firm, where we also connect this to other films, Better Than, Worse Than.
Better Than, Worse Than.
Brew, what is this movie better than to you?
So, yeah, in the grand pantheon of things that I would call stylistically similar, this movie was better than Please Baby Please, which was a 2022 film directed by Amanda Kramer,
that we talk about.
Sorry, Amanda.
Yeah, did we do a review of it, or did we decide to just not do a review on it?
We might have decided not to.
Might have been a movie where we were just like, I think we ran out of things to talk about, like on the walk to the bus.
Yeah, it's for sure one of those. It kind of pulls off of these like artistic like eras that I am just utterly uninterested in. I don't want to hear about like the Grease 50s era, you know what I mean? Like I don't care so much for that. I don't care so much for I don't want to be reactionary toward theater kids, but I just like it has the same problems as She Is Conan, but not to the same degree, and what it's lacking is definitely the artistic production design that She Is Conan has.
Yeah.
So She Is Conan is better than that film, and I would call it worse than Neptune Frost.
Okay.
2021 film by Saul Williams and Anicia Uzeman. It is a musical that's like kind of based on like there's a lot going on, and it's a little bit hard to describe, and I do think that the dialogue tends to get a little bit heady in the same way, but I also think that there's such a clarity of purpose present that I like didn't find myself getting lost in it at all. I loved the like very queer elements of the film. That's right, I said the Q word, bitch.
Deal with it.
Deal with it. Wow. I really loved the soundtrack being like kind of like these ad hoc like recordings that are kind of put together with these like minimalist like electronic, you know, sounds, and like the soundtrack is just so good. I was so fascinated by everything I was looking at, and I just think that the production design is head and shoulders above like a lot of what we've seen in recent queer cinema. There's like set pieces that are also costumes in Neptune Frost.
Oh God, I've been needing to watch this.
It's really, really spectacular, and I cannot possibly recommend it enough. How about you? What's your better than, worse than?
People are gonna get so mad at me for this one. I think it is better than The Green Knight.
I am totally with you on that one.
Because we talked a lot about really enjoying the first part of the film, where it's like a barbarian film with like a set piece and stuff. And as I have said at the start of this, I hate high fantasy. I find it very annoying. But I do love a good visual feast. And I think that the design and costuming and the way it works with a sort of clearly limited budget, but uses this sort of like fantastical like implication of things out of that, like making things just look really cool, even though they're clearly like, well, we're using this kind of like as a stand-in for something bigger. I think is really, really cool. And The Green Knight, I didn't give a fucking single shit about that whole fucking, that whole movie looks like a fucking commercial for Disney Plus.
Yeah, it had like really, I was not captivated or taken to another world by The Green Knight. Same goes for The Northman.
Yeah.
Like I thought that like it showed a lot of promise. I mean, both of these films really showed a lot of promise kind of prior to coming out. And then once they did, these things that might have felt like larger set pieces and more kind of tied together sequences, you know, done by other people, kind of fell flat.
Yeah, no, and that is how I felt about Green Knight. It's just I went in fully willing to be like, okay, cool, this is going to be the kind of stuff I can watch when it's high fantasy, which is like really visually like compelling cinema at its finest, and it just wasn't there. And this movie has its own problems with that, but I think this movie accomplishes that same feeling with a much smaller budget and a much smaller scale, but actually feels much more grandiose with that than The Green Knight did.
Mm.
That's why I'm saying this is better than The Green Knight.
Yes.
This is worse than 2004's Palindromes by Todd Solondz.
Oh.
Because that is another film which uses multiple actresses playing one character, including actors and actresses of different ages and ethnicities and identities and all of this stuff. It is a deeply, deeply cynical film. It is the same director as Happiness and Welcome to the Dollhouse, which are both incredibly dark comedies. And Palindromes is in the same boat. It was one of the first of his, actually, that I watched way back in like 2004 when it came out.
I think
it's one of his weaker films. I think it goes a little bit more for shock value more than his other stuff. Like, his other stuff uses a lot of shocking imagery and stuff, but it feels effective as like a distancing tactic. But I think that movie also accomplishes the shock value elements a lot better.
Right.
And uses this sort of shifting identity, like shifting actress identity to a much greater end in that film than it really does in She Is Conan. Mm-hmm. Like in Conan, it's a thing where it's like, okay, I get it, but it kind of ultimately just feels like a showy trick.
Sure, yeah.
Whereas in Palindromes, it feels a lot more about, like, again, a way to kind of distance you from, like, well, if you were actually watching, like, a 13-year-old going through all of this stuff, it would be, like, kind of just fucked up for no reason. So by having the actress, like, change constantly, it, like, kind of makes you just, like, engage with the story in, like, a more emotionally detached way.
Very interesting. I like that as a tactic. Because Lord knows it's hard to watch. I mean, like, the shit that Todd Solondz is responsible for. an absolute gay demon.
Easily one of the most evil filmmakers working.
Yeah.
And he's so good at it. Like, that's what's fucked up, is that he's so good at it. Right. But yeah, that's what it kind of reminded me of, is because, like, that's the only other film I could think of when I was watching this that I was like, oh, this is another movie that does a similar sort of like identity play with the actors and actresses. And I thought it accomplished it a lot better.
Yay! So, you know, go watch those instead.
Or watch all of them. Make your own opinions.
Watch everything. Yeah, decide for yourself. It ain't gonna hurt you to watch a freaking movie once or twice.
It could. Depends on the movie. I think I've actually come around on the moralist position. I think movies can kill you. But I think that's what makes them good.
Well, Happiness is a killing movie. Yeah. Let's put it that way. Well, yeah. Thank you everyone so much for joining us here today to discuss She Is Conan,
which apparently might be being released now more broadly as just Conan, which is very annoying for the record. Let me be clear.
I don't like
it. Is extremely annoying.
They got to work on their what do you call it, their branding. I guess maybe this is them working on their branding. They got to do a better job working on their branding. But yeah, thank you so much for joining me today, Jay Bearhat.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast I co-host with you, Peru.
The podcast that is our podcast. It is the podcast that we are on, and it is our podcast. Check us out on patreon.com/filmcritters for exclusive Film Critters Throws It Backs, and hopefully this month some more exclusive stuff, like some, you know, maybe a little Oscar predictions situation.
Maybe.
We'll see what we can do. Maybe
no promises.
Yeah. Oh, I got my fingers crossed behind my back.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.